Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another presentation of Forge D20's campaign, Thrones. I'm your DM, Hunter, once again joined by my players, Zach and Parker. It's a pleasure to see you both again, be here at the table with you guys, and a pleasure to be here with you, the audience. Last we left off, our intrepid adventurers had recently discovered the location of the priest that was taken by a group of thugs belonging to the Zhentarim. Now, the party had to go and rescue this priest because they were looking for a man known as Agent Fastfoot, a agent of the Raven Queen, who himself was also looking for this priest who's been captured. Upon some investigations and heading to the dock ward, they ended up finding the exact location, a warehouse where the priest is held up and being interrogated by members of the Zhentarim. The party followed signs of this flock of ravens that began to gradually appear throughout the city. It led them here, and eventually they made their way around. They set the scene. They made a plan. But before they could get in there and make an attack, Agent Fastfoot himself revealed that he was there this entire time. He dispatched very quickly of the initial six thugs interrogating the interrogating the archpriest with very, very aggressive, what would be the word I'm looking for? Nonetheless, with aggressive, what's the word? Prejudice? There was simply no one living in that scenario. They were all left dead. And then the rest of the Zhentarim thugs left or came out from there, what looked to be some sort of barracks that they had made up. And that's when the party jumped in and joined forces with Agent Fastfoot to save the priest. Shortly after that, with all the thugs dispatched, current proceedings, where the party now finds themselves face-to-face with this agent of the Raven Queen, this halfling Agent Fastfoot. And that is where we will pick up. So, my players, my brothers, standing before you is halfling who, although small, has a bit of a large sort of stature aura to him. He may be small in height, but you can feel this eminence of a presence about him. He stands there cloaked in shadow, glancing at each of you. Is there anything someone wants to say or speak up, or does perhaps Agent Fastfoot want to speak first?
I'll give the floor to you guys first. And then, if nobody wants to take the reins, I'll have Agent say something.
Daedalus will speak then. Daedalus takes a step forward and looks at Agent, eyes him, kind of just noticing little things about him, his armor, the headdress he wears, or not headdress, but the sort of, what was the name of the hat he has on?
Do not recall, but it's a very Japanese-style hat with raven feathers dangling off of it.
It's got the large brim. It goes around, right?
Yep, correct.
So thinking Raiden from Mortal Kombat, sort of like that?
Exactly.
Okay. Daedalus scans Agent Fastfoot, and Daedalus announces himself. Greetings. My name is Daedalus. Are you Agent Fastfoot, the agent of the Raven Queen?
Yes. Who are you?
We are three warriors here looking for extraordinary individuals like yourself. We were sent here to look for you in our journey to that mission. We found that you were looking for someone as well. We followed you on this expedition to rescue the priest, seeking to help you and to gain an audience. And now we are here. These are my companions, Atheron Orcsbane and Alistair Darkheart.
Alistair bows slightly in a very noble fashion, kind of stepping one foot forward, hand to his hips, and bows.
Too formal. But it is a pleasure to meet you all. You say you're seeking me out for some mission. Tell me, what does that entail?
I will give you the short version for now, and the more detailed version later. Short version. There's a great calamity that has come to the Storm Coast. A powerful white dragon named Volcanon. It recently ravaged a small town from here known as Phandalin. We are seeking help. Great warriors such as yourself that would join us on a conquest to defeat this dragon. We have faced him once in combat before. And Atheron, Daedalus gestures him, and his axe with the visible frost scales all over it from the dragon. We have wounded it, and now we want to hunt it and kill it. We learned of the presence of you and the one known as Belgos. We've already spoken with him. He actually gave us the information that you were in here, searching for this priest. He is searching for you as well, outside the city gates, waiting. If you would be so kind, we would like to join you in returning the priest, but then would ask your company in one final affair that we have in this city, and then we can reunite with Belgos III.
Agent squints his eyes, staring deep into Daedalus's eyes.
All right. I'll help you.
Daedalus nods.
Very well. I think it's best we attend to the priest. No.
And Daedalus turns to look at the priest behind him and then back to Ajin.
Ajin looks at the priest and he gives a very slight bow to him.
Tell me, is the anathema safe?
The priest looks at Ajin. Looks at the three men around him. You see him look and glance down sort of at his midriff belt area. Kind of pats. Looks back up.
Yes, it is still safe. Blessings of the Raven Queen, it is safe.
You see the sort of like look of relief over him.
Good. Those Zentarum are too brain dead to even check your pockets. What a joke.
It's not that they didn't check my pockets, my lord. I have it hidden somewhere else.
He slowly reveals part of his robe. He pulls it back a little bit, and you see this sort of large tattoo from the lower part of his stomach up to about the middle of his chest. And you see all sort of arcane scriptures, and these tattoos glow in this sort of light purple light. The priest takes a moment, and you hear him speak a power word in Elvish that you cannot understand. The tattoo begins to glow more brightly. The priest places a hand before the tattoo and reaches inside, very gently pulls out a small bag. You cannot tell what's inside, but it's a bag that could fit about anything the size of a soda bottle, like a Coke bottle in today's world. But this velvet covered, colored bag, he takes it and he places it on his hip.
It is in safekeeping with you around, Fastfoot. I would ask that you and your friends take me back to the temple if possible.
Of course. I must follow her bidding and see this job through.
And he bows yet again.
priest returns the bow. He then approaches the party. I did not get the chance to formally introduce myself yet. My name is Nox. I am the Archpriest of the Raven Queen here in the city of Waterdeep. And I thank you for the swift rescue and your assistance to Agent Fastfoot. Who are you?
My name is Alistair Darkhart. It's a pleasure to meet you, Nox. Shakes his hand, or at least reaches out his hand to shake it.
He returns the gesture, turns to Daedalus. Daedalus looks at him. I am Daedalus. It is a pleasure. He just nods his head. The priest returns the gesture. The priest then turns and looks to you, Hathron.
Hathron is going to respectfully put his hand out for a handshake and say, I'm Hathron.
He returns the gesture, shakes your hand. I am Nox. I thank you all for your swift rescue and your aid. Come. It is better that we speak at the temple of what has occurred here. Reward for your valiant efforts. The priest then motions towards the door. The party kind of forms a protective sort of quartet, protective square, a box around the priest as they escort him through the city streets back to the temple. Every once in a while, a few people bow their heads and move out of the way as they recognize the priest and his belongings. Everybody else pretty much makes sure to kind of steer clear and give us the room as Daedalus and Hathoron are at the front, kind of just peeling the crowd left to right, and Alistair and Agent stand behind the priest, kind of keeping a watch on everything. After about a couple hours walk, you make your way back to the temple. As you make your way inside the temple, you see that there is no more people here. It's beginning to get to close to evening. There's no more procession going on. There's a few acolytes and a few, I would say, scholars of the Order of the Raven Queen here, kind of doing some tithings, cleaning up the place. Some are doing some incantations and prayers. But when the priest walks in, all of this stops. The acolytes, all of the different members of the clergy kind of begin to congregate towards the priest. They all begin kind of swarming him, asking him questions, making sure he's okay. After a moment or two of discussion, though, he waves them off and says that he's too tired, that he will inform them all of what happened tomorrow after a rest. He needs his rest now, and that his companions and him will be retiring to the just a sort of private area for the time being. We make our way through the temple to the back, once again sitting down amongst this sort of private meeting room that high-ranking members of the clergy kind of have their religious discussions within. The priest looks upon the group. Now, about what happened here. The Zentarm were after this. He opens from his belt pouch. He pulls out that same velvet bag, undoes a drawstring, and very slowly reveals a knife. When you look at this knife, you see all sorts of putrescent pustulence. You see just all sorts of fungus, boils, rust, and you see what looks to be like almost like flayed skin on the leather and the handle. Old, decrepit, corpse-like grayed skin. You see the priest has not removed the knife completely from the bag. He's still holding it from the bag around what little bit of the handle he's willing to grab. The rest of it kind of hangs out a little bit. This is an object known as the Anathem. This is a very powerful and very evil artifact, something that belongs to an enemy of the Raven Queen. It needed to be kept here for safekeeping and eventually, hopefully, destroyed. The Zentarm were looking for it, and because they could not find it, took the next best thing, me. They wanted to take the anathem and sell it to highest bidder. I could not allow this, so I hid it in the only place I could. Now, it will be safely kept here once again. We're going to reimagine our security process here. Find another way to keep it safe that doesn't require me to use such archaic methods. As he says this, Alistair, you feel this cold chill on the air. And your breath begins to turn to frost. As you breathe out, you see this icy smoke that comes out. And as this happens, the room gets much darker, as if enveloped in shadow. A fog rolls in along the floor. And you see your companions and the people in this room are frozen still, stuck in thought and expression in a moment. You are in a world of shadow. You can feel that you are here physically presently with your allies, but at the same time, you are somewhere else. As you are taken to this realm, to this shadow, you can hear whispering of many different voices upon the air. You can't quite make out what they're saying, but you can hear these mumbled voices of men, women, children, some voices even sounding demonic. You hear a cackling in the background. And stepping out from the shadows, you see a pair of large glowing orange orbs. And then you see a bit of the form, the pincer-like appendages of your patron, Shivarat. It is good to see you again, Alistair. Do you remember what we spoke about the last time we were together?
I do. And I hope you plan on honoring your word of breaking my pact with you.
I do. But in order to complete this contract, to end the pact between us, you must do things for me. A few tasks. And that is why I'm here now, in this moment. The anathem. And as he says this, your vision is taken straight to the object. In this realm of shadow, the anathem glows with a bright light. It is not quite blinding, but it hurts to look at almost. You can see this radiance, not radiance, but I would say this aura around it. Every so often, wispy smoke trails off of it in multiple colors. That is what I need of you, Alistair. You must get me the anathem. This will be the first in your series of tasks to gain your freedom. If you're serious about it, you will get me that artifact. That is your task, by any means. Bring that to me. If you do this, you will be on your way to earning your freedom, boy. Good luck. And as he says this, you hear the wispy voices. The fog begins to roll back. The wisping voices begin to fade out. The shadows begin to fade, and the orbs begin to fade as well. For a moment, you hear the cackling laughter of Shivarat, and you're snapped back to the reality before you, where the priest then, as if he never broke his sentence, puts away the anathem back into its velvet pouch and begins to dress the party again. But enough about the blade. It is time you were given your reward. The clergy here does not have much, but we do have some things that could be of use to you. Here. Before you, the priest opens up a small chest. There are a handful of items that you can pick from. You see a cloak of invisibility. you see a necklace of some kind of magic. It looks to be, let me see here. I've got it pulled up. I had a whole list. One moment. Ah, yes. You see a necklace with four pearls on it, and these pearls are glowing with this sort of like electric blue lightning. You see the sparks kind of coming off of the orbs every so often as if they're brimming with some sort of magical potential. These are a necklace of lightning bolt. And then you see one more thing. You see a what looks to be some sort of ring. On this ring, you see a shield encrusted upon it. This would be a ring of shielding, and it would give you a bonus to your AC for as long as you wear it. Does not require attunement. The cloak of invisibility does. The necklace does not. Of those three, which of the three do each of you want? Daedalus will take the scraps.
I'm not going to lie, dog. I'm taking the ring.
All right. The ring goes to Atheron. Atheron, you now have a permanent +2 to AC as long as you wear the ring.
Sick.
Fucking sick.
I was praying you'd grab that. I was like, please take it. Please take it.
So I looked up Cloak of Invisibility. And this is a fucking artifact level item. Is that the one I'd be putting on my character?
No, we're doing a homebrew for most of our stuff.
Okay, so
inventory.
What is the parameters of said Cloak of Invisibility?
I would say you can put on the Cloak of Invisibility and it turns you invisible for a short time period while you wear it. You can tell that this is whilst a good magical item. You could tell this isn't quite like the Cloak of Invisibility, right? It's a basically it's like your dollar store brand. It's a Cloak of Invisibility, not the Cloak of Invisibility. So I would say basically once every short rest, you could put on the cloak for no longer than I would say. What do you think is fair? Give me a fair number. I wouldn't say an hour.
Sure. Is that too short? Because what's the invisibility spell say? It should just give me, like, I should just be able to use the invisibility spell once per short rest. Do you think that's fair?
Let me look at this. Let's see what it says.
Let me see. Invisibility is concentration up to an hour.
Okay, sure. So up to an hour. You don't even have to cast it. Once per short rest, up to an hour of invisibility, as long as you wear it.
All right.
Is that what you want?
Yep.
All right, and then Daedalus will take the necklace of lightning bolt, which is nice because Daedalus does need a ranged option, so I will take that. So Daedalus has four beads of lightning bolt. Let me make sure. Yep, that's what he's got. All right, after taking your rewards, Atheron, as you slide on the ring... At first, it looks small. It grows in size to fit around your fucking sausage fingers. And as the ring sort of locks itself in place, you see this steel-like shield projection kind of form around the edge of the ring. You know, like a Green Lantern ring sometimes projects the symbol of the ring? This is projecting that shield.
Sick.
Alistair, the Cloak of Invisibility, when you look upon it and you sort of wrap it around and you add it to your ensemble of clothing. It, in color, on the outside, has a very similar dark blue to the clothing you already wear. As far as gilding and anything like that, it does not have any, like, golden embroidery or anything like that. It's a very simple golden sash with it. But when you look inside the Cloak of Invisibility, you see nothing but a void. There is nothing. There is no color. It is not black. It is the absence of color. You look inside, and when you stick your hand inside the cape and touch the inside of the cape, your hand disappears. When you put the cape on and you fasten it to yourself, you can feel the magical properties of this cape brimming along your back. because you have it sort of, you know, obviously thrown around you in a way for right now. Daedalus takes these glowing blue beads and takes this necklace, and instead of wrapping it around his neck, he actually wears it as a sort of bracelet. Quicker access for him, and when he's in a fight, it'll be easier for him in a pinch to use it. So he wears it as a sort of bracelet upon his gauntlet on his left hand. The priest looks upon Ajin for a moment. And for you, Ajin Fastfoot, the Raven Queen herself will give you that reward. I offer you my sincerest thanks. I know that the Lady of Ravens will come to you soon. I have seen more to come in visions up to this point. Great calamities that will require your aid. You are meant to be here, Agent Fastfoot. I can sense that. It is good you're here in the city of Waterdeep here on the Storm Coast. I pray for your success.
Agent gives him a quick bow. Doesn't speak, he just bows.
The four of you may rest here for the evening once more. I will be retiring for the evening. Once again, thank you all for your rescue. I am in your debt still. If you ever need anything, find me. I will be here. He bows and then leaves the room. Alistair, you taking note? And as he leaves the room, he takes the anathem in its velveteen bag, and you see him shove it into his robe, into his midriff area. You see a slight glow of purple energy, and that's it. It is gone. Now the four of us are in this sort of secret meeting area, this room. Just in the room over is where we were bunking for the evening previously. Daedalus kind of looks over at Ajin. He looks at Alistair, and he looks at Hathoron.
Well, do we take our rest for the evening here, or do we push onward and move on to our next piece of our agenda, our search for the one known as Gugu, the Destroyer?
Well, my vote is we go to this fight club. You see, I kind of actually went to some of these events when I was younger with my dad when we would visit here in Waterdeep, and I kind of want to go on a nostalgia trip, if you don't mind.
Daedalus shrugs his shoulders. It is of no consequence to me. What of you, Hathoron?
I hope they take volunteers.
I hope not. That would suck. At least for me. For you, I guess you would be fine.
Daedalus smirks at what Hathoron said.
Yes, I hope there are volunteers. It would be something to see Hathoron get his hands on a few willing subjects. Just remember, Hathoron, you can't kill them. At least I don't think here.
We'll see.
You can break them. Break a few bones. But if we want to go, now's the time. Every minute we waste, we lose rest.
Yes, and well, considering the event starts in 30 minutes, you might want to make haste.
Oh, you've been there before. Daedalus looks over. Very well. Could you perhaps lead us there? I have no idea what this fight club is. What do they call it here?
Well, they used to call it Fight Club, but after some shady shit, they got bought out by a new promoter. Well, they now go by the pit.
Well then, let us go to this pit and see what exactly goes on there. I assume there's a champion.
Mm-hmm. There is.
I'm beginning to think that our quarry is the champion. He looks over at Hathron. Maybe you'll have to dethrone him.
You mean Gugu?
Yes.
He gives people with a stature like myself a good name.
He's small like you. Well then, let us find out how capable this Gugu actually is.
You guys begin to head down the winding streets of the city of Waterdeep, and as you make your way through, you eventually make your way to this sort of like more slummy district. There's a lot more taverns, saloons, but they're of lower quality. Different drunks and beggars on the streets openly. This looks to be some sort of almost like a party district almost, until you guys eventually come up with this large amphitheater style like building. You see this very large and crudely crafted billboard shortly nearby that says The Pit. As you guys observe it, you can see a large crowd of people inside. Many different lights of central area. A couple bouncers stand outside the front door. There's a small queue of people, and it's rapidly moving people inside. As the four of you sort of line up and make your way to the front door, the bouncers stop you. Two large half-human, half-orc men that look upon each of you.
Here to fight or here to watch, they say.
Both.
Me, I'm here to just watch.
They give a quick scan to each of you, stopping both of them to look at Hathron. They notice that even for a half-orc, and these are two pretty large individuals, that he is very large. They take a second to stop at Ajin, and take a second to stop at look at Daedalus. They look at you, Alistair.
Yeah, you look like somebody who'd be watching instead of fighting. Here.
He reaches out, and with a small little, what looks to be ink pen, almost like a marker, he takes a single black X and puts it on each of your hands.
If you want to compete, show them that. If you don't, go up to the bar, show them that. They'll know that we let you in. Go on. And they open the door for the party.
As the door opens, you are greeted with this large sight before you. Inside this amphitheater is almost like this large coliseum. You can see rows upon rows of bench-style seating that feeds around in the circular-esque architecture. And you can see different limestone stonework that's kind of haphazardly repaired, cracked, put together to create this faux Roman Colosseum-esque building. As you look around, you can see all sorts of projection lights that are facing down into the center of the Colosseum. And inside, you can see a single individual, a small, what looks to be halfling human, or not halfling human, I'm sorry, halfling male. And they're kind of gesturing to the crowd. You can't quite make out what they're saying from this far away, but you can tell that that is indeed the pit itself. And you can see around the pit, towards the edging of the main floor where the combat actually takes place, you can see different marks, cracks in the wall, dents in the wall. You can see pieces of rubble. You even see dried patches of blood upon the walls, different rusted weapons that have just been haphazardly left around. And every so often you'll see some forms of shields and bannerments that have also been left as well. Then you hear a voice come over this sort of projection. The halfling in the center, his voice getting much louder to the point where everyone inside the amphitheater can hear.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the pit, the premier fight club of the city of Waterdeep. Are you ready?
And the whole crowd goes crazy. They're all screaming. That's when Daedalus looks at the rest of the party.
I think it's time we go and get someone entered to compete. What do you say?
I say I want a drink and that I don't want to compete. Agent elbows Daedalus.
Daedalus turns and looks like glancing down towards Agent for a second.
I have to tell you something. Come close.
Daedalus comes as close as he can. He kneels down almost on one knee.
What?
Do you know what would be amusing?
Daedalus turns and looks at Alistair and then looks out to the fight pit, then looks back at Agent. He says nothing, but you can see his eyes and where they were fixated. He raises an eyebrow.
Agent looks at Alistair and then whispers to Daedalus once more.
Convince him to fight. You seem close, and I think only you could do that.
Daedalus smirks for a second.
Allow me to consult with my other companion for a moment.
Daedalus smirks and then stands back up slowly. As Alistair's heading over to the bar, Hathoron, you start to follow with him, and as you're walking towards Alistair, you feel something grab your wrist. You look back and you see it's Daedalus. Daedalus looks at you, walks a little bit closer, kind of leans in towards you.
I know you're probably itching to get a fight in, and I'm not saying that you don't. But maybe, just maybe, hear me out. We volunteer Alistair to go first. Worst thing that happens, he gets his ass kicked. And then we send you out there to avenge him, so to speak.
Hathoron bellows out in laughter as loud as he possibly could at the idea of Alistair fighting in a fighting pit. And he says yes through his laughter.
Daedalus smiles.
Then it will be done.
Daedalus watches as Alistair goes to the bar. He looks at Hathoron.
Keep him busy. I'm going to go talk to whoever's the bookie around here. I'm going to go talk up the legendary warrior that is Alistair Darkheart. You get him nice and primed, if you get what I'm saying. I'll be back.
Daedalus kind of scurries off in search of the bookie. Agent, Hathoron, Alistair all head to the bar. But for now, that is where we will end tonight's session with the setup for potentially Alistair to enter his first foray of combat here at the pit. Maybe Alistair will become new champion. Maybe Alistair will need to call in for a hot tag and get Hathoron in there to save him. But one way or another, Gugu awaits. I want to thank all of you that are here for listening. Obviously, this is a bit shorter episode than we usually do. Due to time constraints outside of the table, we're just trying to get something out for you guys. We're going to be getting back to the table really soon with more Tales of Lodrianth. And obviously with more Thrones, next episode specifically for Thrones will be much longer. as we will be introducing a new character to the party and a new player. And we'll be really excited to share all that with you guys next time we see you. So for everyone here at the table and at Forge D20, I want to say thank you so much. And we look forward to seeing you here at the table again with us next time. Take it easy.
Hey guys, thanks for tuning in to this episode of Forge D20's Thrones. We want to give a special shout out to our sponsors and patrons, Melanie Droz, Melanie Cochialone, and Anakin Gross. We love you guys so much, and thank you for taking the time to tune into this episode. And we will see you next time. Take it easy.